nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. I'll present before you the understanding of Surah Ali Imran in this particular presentation and the next one. Surah Ali Imran can be divided into two parts. The first part is comprised of the first 100 verses, and incidentally, the next part is comprised of the next 100 verses. This surah is the partner surah of Al-Baqarah, the second surah of the Quran. Both surahs begin with Alif Lam Mim, the letters that are recited separately. This is an indication from the Almighty that both surahs contain a very similar message which complements each other. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we have seen that the Almighty addressed both people of the book as well as the Muslims. The people of the book were presented with the message of God to be accepted by them and to be taken as the message of God formally, while the Muslims were expected to follow that same message in the right spirit. This surah is also doing somewhat similar thing for the people of the book, although in a slightly different manner. And this surah too is addressing Muslims as well, so as to help them and beseech them to transform and improve themselves as believers in the message of God. However, there is a difference in what Surah Ali Imran does from what Surah Al-Baqarah did. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the address to the people of the book was primarily targeted towards the Jews, while we would see in this particular surah that the address of the Almighty is towards the Christians, the believers in Jesus Christ, alayhi salam. Also, when this surah addresses the Muslims, it focuses its attention on improving their moral and spiritual attachment to the faith, in enabling them to be cleansed of the evil, the weaknesses that had infiltrated in them. And thus, it helps them in going through the process of cleansing and improving that would enable them to ultimately become the tools of the Almighty's decisions to be implemented in this world and to be successful in the hereafter. I will talk before you of the first part of this surah in this presentation, which is comprised of the first 100 verses. The first 32 verses are essentially a prelude, the starting of the surah. And thereafter, verses 33 to 63 are talking about the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, alayhi salam, and the events that followed, so as to help the believers in Jesus, the Christians, to know that the understanding of the divinity of Jesus Christ and Trinity is something that is misleading and incorrect. And if the right course of events were to be understood and followed, then one would be very clearly believing in Jesus Christ as another messenger who was a prophet of God and a human being. From verses 64 to verse 64 to 100, the Almighty is talking about the various different issues that were raised by the Jews and Christians during the time of the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, and the question that they had raised so as to somehow dissuade the Muslims from the right path. When we talk about the first part, the prelude, there are a number of subjects that have been talked about, but the more important of them are clarification that the Book of God, the Quran, is comprised of a number of verses, some of which are mutashabihat, the allegorical verses, the verses which give us the understanding of the world that we cannot see. The verses that talk about, for instance, the paradise, the hell, God Almighty's attributes, the angels, and the world that is, although there in reality, but it cannot be seen by us in this present worldly existence. Now, the Quran describes that world, but describes in the human language, which of course cannot be precise in explaining and clarifying what exactly is being talked about. And yet, the description was necessitated, was important for the understanding of the message of what the life and the reality of the unseen could be. So that the Almighty decided and chose to describe that world, the unseen world, in an allegorical manner. The description is metaphorical. And there are a number of verses of the Quran which talk about the pleasures of the paradise, the pains and the problems in the hell, and those descriptions are described, expressed in the worldly language, which is not exactly literally what that world would actually comprise of. However, it helps in enabling us to know somewhat what the understanding of the other world ought to be. Those people, according to the Quran, who are interested in knowing the Quran properly, the people who are really knowledgeable, they are the ones who know that the allegorical verses are doing a certain task beyond which the meanings should not be read. However, those people who are seeking fitna, who are trying to find problems in the message of the God, God Almighty, they are the ones who try to focus their entire attention on these allegorical verses, and they try to ask questions which an intelligent reader would know need not be asked. The other aspect of this prelude is wherein the Quran describes about the Almighty that He is the one who has decided to be absolutely fair and to establish and implement justice and fair play. The Almighty says that God Himself gives evidence to the fact, and so do the angels, and so do testify all knowledgeable people of the world that there is no Lord, there is no deity, there is no creator except God, and that He is qaimam bil qist. He is firmly established, He is firmly decided to establish justice and fair play. Now this understanding of the Almighty's firm commitment to justice and fair play is going to be expressed in the form of the creation of a life hereafter, without which this worldly life cannot ever be expected and deemed to be fulfilling God Almighty's promise of being fair and just to the people. The other aspect that has been clarified in this prelude of the surah is that the message of Islam that the Almighty has sent from time to time through His messengers is the only message that He is going to accept from people who want to seek His satisfaction and pleasure. So that the Almighty declares that Inna Deena Indallahi al-Islam, indeed the only religion, the only correct religious attitude that God Almighty is going to accept is Islam, is the attitude of surrendering before Almighty to know what His will and desire is and to follow it as best as is possible. From verses 33 to 63, we find the description of the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. But before it is described, the Almighty clarifies that He chose Adam, He chose Nuh, He chose Ibrahim alayhimus salam and his children, his progeny, for the purpose of disseminating the message that was to be communicated to the entire mankind. And from amongst the children of Ibrahim, there was another family, which was the children of Imran, who was the father of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. So that before describing the details of the story of the birth and the life of Jesus Christ, the Almighty clarifies that all this really that happened in the case of Jesus Christ was because of the Almighty's scheme that He has chosen for the guidance of humankind men from time to time who started off from Adam alayhis salam, and thereafter we had Nuh alayhis salam as a prominent messenger who was followed by Ibrahim alayhis salam, about whom the Almighty decided that not only he but his family is going to be chosen for the purpose of spreading His message to all corners of the world. Now from amongst the family of Ibrahim alayhis salam, there was a man, Imran, whose daughter got the privilege of giving birth, miraculous birth, to Jesus Christ, who was to deliver the message of God to the children of Israel, to the Jews, in an effective manner. So that the Christians, the believers in Jesus Christ, are being informed that, look here, Jesus Christ was given a particular task, a project by the Almighty, as indeed were projects given to the earlier prophets, so that for His particular task to be achieved effectively, he was given a miraculous birth, so that his birth and the miracles that he accompanied with himself from the Almighty, they together could discharge the function for which he was sent to this world. So that the Quran clarifies that all that happened in the early part of Jesus' life and the later project, the later mission that he accomplished, was all from God. So that the entire description of the story of Jesus Christ clarifies one important point, and that is that his birth, as well as his miracles, as well as whatever mission he accomplished, was all because of God Almighty's support to him, because God enabled him to do so. It wasn't because Jesus Christ himself had any divinity in himself. Jesus, like all other messengers, was a prophet of God, a servant of God, a mortal who used to eat, who used to have all the worldly needs, as indeed all other humans have. And therefore, to assign to him any understanding of divinity is completely misleading. And God Almighty describes the various aspects of his prophetic mission that he discharged before the children of Israel, the Jews, and mentions that all this happened because the Almighty wanted him to discharge that mission. And therefore, the only right understanding about Jesus Christ is that he was an important messenger of God who was born miraculously without a father, but that miraculous birth does not mean that he was the Son of God. No, indeed, he was only the son of Mary, who was given this exceptionally different way of coming to this world, because the Almighty wanted to clarify before the Jews the fact that the way they have distorted and corrupted the message of God, the message of Torah, is something that needed to be revived through the Spirit that could only be injected in them through a messenger who would come with the kind of miracles that accompanied Jesus Christ. So that this message was particularly targeted towards the Christians, so as to let them know that the message of Islam brought by Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, is the same message, is in the same spirit, the same vein as was carried in the messages brought by the earlier prophets, including Jesus Christ. So that if the Christians, the believers in Jesus Christ, wanted to come close to God, wanted to believe in the right message of God, they had no choice but to believe that the Quran was the message of God, and that the Quran describes in detail the important aspects of Jesus' life in a manner which is absolutely correct and true. And if the Jews or the Christians have any doubt about how the Quran describes the details of Jesus' mission, well, they are challenged in the Quran to come forward and bring forth their evidence, their arguments to support their cause. And the Quran declares and clarifies that even if they would try to do so, they will not be able to achieve the target, the mission of proving themselves right. After having clarified the truth about Jesus Christ, and having clarified the fact that Jesus was not a divine creation of the Almighty, he was like any other human being, the Quran goes on to then address some of the problems that were raised by the people of the book during the time of the Prophet. The Quran urges the people of the book, after having described the life of Jesus Christ, to believe in the Quran and to come close to the message of God. And it clarifies to both groups, the Jews and the Christians, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great messenger of God, was neither a Jew nor a Christian, as was claimed by the two groups, religious groups of those times. The Quran clarifies that both Torah and Injil were revealed before, much later, after Ibrahim alayhi salam left this world. How could it ever be possible that he could either be a Jew or a Christian? So that, you know, the misunderstandings that were being created by the Jews and the Christians of that time, they have been clarified and addressed in this part of Surah Al Imran, verses 64 to 100. However, the Quran clarifies and goes on doing it over and over again that not all Jews and all Christians were corrupt. Some of them were those who were so very reliable that if one were to give them an important, valuable for them to preserve, to keep with themselves, they would turn out to be absolutely reliable and would return each and every penny that would be entrusted to them for the purpose of keeping safe and secure with them. This the Quran mentions so as to encourage those good-natured people of the Jews and the Christians who did not get corrupted because of believing and understanding in a message which had been distorted. So that the Quran goes on from time to time to clarify that all such people, all Jews and all Christians are not alike. The Quran reminds the Jews and the Christians that they have actually been committed by an understanding and a covenant which the Almighty required them to accept and to make a firm commitment on the basis of which that they are going to believe in the later prophet, they are going to support the cause of that prophet, and would also let the world at large know that they are the custodians of this understanding that a new prophet would come and his message is going to be accepted and acknowledged by all people who come across it. The Quran clarifies that this understanding really must be known to everybody, that whoever wants to seek God's pleasure, he has to accept Islam as the message of God, because anyone who seeks a religion other than Islam, the Almighty is not going to accept it. Of course, what it means is that the message of Islam has to be communicated to the people properly. And if somebody comes across this message as from God, then there is no choice but for the individual to accept, acknowledge it, and to follow it. So that the kind of understanding and problems that were being raised by the Jews and Christians, whereby they wanted people to believe in their brand of religion, has been completely rejected and dispelled by the Quran, wherein the Quran says, the Almighty says, that if anybody wants to adopt a religion for the sake of pleasing God Almighty, it has to be only Islam, which is the religion presented by Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, which is no different from the religion that was presented by the earlier prophets, except for a few minor changes that were incorporated in this message so as to enable the people to follow religion in its right form, even in the wake of changing times. The Quran in this particular surah addresses and answers the questions that were raised by the Jews and the Christians so that the attention of the people was distracted and turned away from the religion of Islam. For example, the Jews raised this objection that if Islam, the message brought by Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, was to be from God, how could it be possible that it declares lawful and halal certain things, edibles, that were declared haram and unlawful in the earlier books? They were referring to the fact that camel was considered haram by the people of the earlier books, and yet Islam has declared it to be halal, and the Muslims are consuming camel and camel meat. The Quran clarifies that the claim that camel and other pure food was haram for the children of Israel is a claim which is faulty, mistaken, and challenges the Jews to bring forth Torah and prove, if they are right, that the Almighty had ever declared the pure food to be haram for the ordinary people, and goes on to clarify that the fact of the matter is that it's only Jacob, Yaqub alayhis salam, who for his own personal reasons of taste had decided not to consume camel meat. Otherwise, the Almighty had never declared any food which was pure as haram for his people. So that this misunderstanding that was created by the Jews has been dispelled and rejected. Likewise, there was this confusion that was raised by the Jews as well as the Christians with regard to the Muslim claim that Mecca and the Kaaba, the sanctuary, the house, is actually the same house that was built and constructed by Ibrahim alayhis salam and his son Ismail alayhis salam for the purpose of enabling people to worship God and to concentrate and be directed towards the house for pleasing the Almighty and for worshipping Him properly and effectively. The Quran clarifies that this is the very place where it was done, and this house is indeed the house of Allah. No matter how much the Jews and the Christians may try to create misunderstandings and raise criticism against it, the Quran gives a clarification of the fact that the whole place, if one visits it, gives an evidence of the fact that it's the place where Ibrahim alayhis salam resided and spent his time for the purpose of constructing this house along with his son. The Quran clarifies that if one were to see the house and visit that place, one knows that this place is even now declared as a place of peace, whereby everybody who enters has to ensure that everybody else is free from his threats and is fully peaceful for all purposes. So much so that no living being is allowed to be killed in this place. So that in itself is a testimony of the fact that Mecca is the same very place of peace which was declared as the territory of peace by the Almighty right from the beginning. Moreover, it is a well-known fact that whoever wants to do Hajj, wants to visit the house of Allah, this is the place where one can perform the pilgrimage for the purpose of pleasing God Almighty. After all these evidences that are so very clear to anybody who visits Mecca and the house of Allah, it is only through the intransigence, because of the unwillingness on the part of the people of the book, that they are rejecting the claim that Prophet Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, is the messenger of God, and that Mecca and the house of Allah, Kaaba, is the same very place which was created by Ibrahim alayhis salam along with his son at the urging and behest of God Almighty for the purpose of enabling people to worship. Now, this presentation has been made so as to clarify before the people of the book the fact that this message that they are trying to reject on the basis of one flimsy argument or claim or another, this is the very house of Allah, and the message that has been brought to them by this messenger is the same very message that was brought to them because of the promise that the Almighty had made through the message that is contained in Torah and the other prophecies that were given by the earlier prophets, including Jesus alayhi salam. So in a nutshell, the first 100 verses of Surah Ali Imran are clarifying the fact that this message of God has been sent by the Almighty for the entire humankind, and Jesus Christ was also a servant of God who was expected to deliver the message and not claim his divinity, which he never claimed. And all excuses presented by the Jews and the Christians to not believe in Quran and the message of the messenger Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, are weak claims, and they need to be rejected. And the fact of the matter is that the Quran is the book of God, and Islam is the message of the Almighty for all people who want to seek His pleasure to accept. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand His book properly and to follow it.